Well, good morning, Texas. Here we are, program 14. I hope you survived 12 and 13. That was a lot of scriptures. But you know, that's what we need to do. We need to be able to open up a Bible and trust it to be the Word of God, not only inspired, but preserved. And look to it as our final authority. Those are the words out of God's mouth exactly to me, and what's in there for me to learn from the beginning until the new beginning. And it's all there for us to study. We don't need anybody else but the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ to open up our understanding, to open up those scriptures. And I'm just there to help you get a good start on it, or whatever it is. There is a purpose for pastors and preachers and teachers, and we have that purpose. But from what I've seen so far in my life, hardly anybody is teaching this anymore. It isn't anything new. It's been taught for years in America, but in the last 100 years or so, it's been the preaching and teaching of Paul's ways has been taken away by the Great Commission, and I will talk about that one of these days, how that came about. But today, let's look at the rapture. Now, a lot of people have lost their faith in the fact that there's going to be a rapture. When I was younger, I thought, well, you know what, I've had my kids, but I bet you I won't see them to be junior high. The rapture is going to come. You know, Kennedy is going to be the Antichrist, or I forgot some of their names, who we all thought it was. And I had listened to a preacher for years who used to say, here's when the rapture is going to come, and he would draw out the timeline. Well, it didn't happen. Then there was a book that came out, I think it came out in 1988, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is going to Come in 1988. And in fact, I was leading songs in a church in New York to about 1,000 people or so. And when that date was coming near, boy, I tell you what, did the people ever sing up a storm those Sundays. But then when the rapture didn't come, that next Sunday the singing was down, the attendance was down. And people were just so disappointed. There's been such an uplift and hope for the rapture that now with things going on the way they are in this country, especially down there in Texas, you guys have your hand full with a corrupt government, I'll tell you what, down there, what's going on in this country. But in this world and the morals and all, everything, religion is picking up its speed for the Antichrist, and truth is forever disappearing. I shouldn't say forever disappearing, it'll come back eventually, but for now, it's heading into the famine territory in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. But anyway, so many people just don't tend to think that the rapture is going to come anymore. And here's one of the problems about all of us preaching and teaching what's going to happen on a certain date. Our kids especially watched us parents cry and run to the altar for things and get our lives right, supposedly, and they know we don't. The kids know when you get home that night, even after church, you're fighting in the car or whatever. They know it's all just a pressured guilt trip from the preachers and the pastors. And they hear about this rapture being taught, and it's going to come and keep everybody from getting into the wrath of God, which it is, the tribulation. We haven't yet to see the wrath of God. This is not God's judgment on America yet at all. Just read Revelation, you'll find out what God's judgment really will be. But they see us and hear us talking about this rapture, as we call it, and it hasn't come yet. So the kids have lost faith. They've given up. They're just out there. They don't even think God's there. The preachers aren't preaching the truth about God is there. And what about this dispensation of grace? Even applies to the lost people for now. It applies to the Christians now. We have a judgment seat of Christ coming up, but the lost people have the white throne judgment coming up. God is not done. So kids think they can get away with all this stuff and God isn't stopping them, so they think after a while, there is no rapture, there is no Bible, there is no God. And that's what happens. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 talks about rightly dividing the word of truth, but verse 16 says that people are following profane and vain babblings, and it leads them into more ungodliness. They give up, they quit, Romans chapter 1. So anyway, let's look at this rapture subject, because we call it the rapture. And let's take a closer look at this thing. I can tell you when it's coming. I just can't tell you the date. But there's a verse here that is an absolute spectacular verse. I should say absolutely spectacular, because it's an adverb, has L-Y at the end. absolutely spectacular verse. First, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's where we all know it talks about it. People say, well, this was invented in, I don't know, some 1900s or 1800s or whatever. No, that's not true. It's always been in this Bible. It hasn't changed. 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Remember, Jesus said to even his disciples and his apostles, ye err because you don't know the scriptures. Anyway. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2 talks about what a lost person truly is, without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And those are the people that have the horrible times at the funerals of their loved ones. And so do we sometimes have the difficult time because we miss them. It's sad. But we should be happy for them if we know that their testimony is of salvation through the risen Savior. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's your salvation, for Paul teaches the risen Savior, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So see, if we go to the stage where we die, not the joy of the exciting rapture, then we'll be coming back with him. We'll talk about that, Revelation 19. We'll be coming, what an event. What an event. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, do you have the word of the Lord? That we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Now, this is not the second coming of Christ. We know that because Christ comes down to the earth and he's fight all these battles. We're now talking about just the coming of the Lord in the clouds, which you'll see, shall not prevent them which are asleep. I mean, come before. Prevent, come before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's why we know this isn't the second coming. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we will come back with him, Revelation 19, another day, another sermon. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. People are losing their faith. They're losing their comfort. The rapture will take place, as we call it the rapture. We might not call it the rapture after today. I'll show you why. Well, we'll use that term for now, should be comfort in that. Yes, some of us are probably going to have to die. I didn't think I would have to, but now I'm 64. I get the feeling my body is saying, this isn't going to last much longer. But then again, from what I'm reading in Romans, I'll show you why I think the rapture still can't be far away. Really can't. But it's not based on things that are going on in America and the borders, you know, and the wars. Those are clues. But that's not the big one. So, with that in mind, let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is a spectacular chapter that talks about the Jews. Do you want to understand what's going on with Jews today and God today? Romans chapter 11 and Romans chapter 9, two spectacular books. King James Bible is the only one that tells you the truth about the Jews and what's going on between the Jews and the Gentiles. So, Romans chapter 11. Let's look up here at Romans chapter 11, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Oh, the fullness. Jump over to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. This is not a mystery. You should understand this. And if you don't, it says, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, so here we have two comments about the fullness of the Gentiles. When God is done with the Gentiles, that's the fullness of the Gentiles. He's done. We're full. We've had all we can take. We've had all we wanted. That's the fullness of the Gentiles. So you want to call the rapture rapture? I guess you can. But how about saying to folks, well, you know, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then the Lord's going to come back. How do you know that? Well, I'll show you. Hang on. So let's go back up to verse 11, kind of bring this all together here. I say then, have they, Jews, stumbled that they may fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them, Jews, to jealousy. They could have had what God's given the Gentiles. Unfortunately, what the Gentiles have today isn't what God gave to them. I mean, the people don't see what it is that God has done to and for the Gentiles. So they're not interested. They don't want it. If they could learn what Paul teaches about to the Gentiles about the risen Savior, and if people saw that in our lives, how we turned from idols to serve the living and true God, if people could see that and see the joy and the peace that we're supposed to have, then they would want what we have. But we have a religion today. We have a false religion. We are being prepped for the Antichrist in religion today. And everybody thinks religion, thinks the Savior just loves everybody and just everything's hunky-dory. God accepts everything that you do. When the Antichrist comes, people are going to be in for a shock, because they're going to think that's Christ, and it's not. That's Revelation chapter 6. That is not Revelation chapter 19. Okay, so anyway. Then it says in verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, which is what we have today, how much more their fullness. Then he says, he reminds us in 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, that's the Jews, and might say some of them. Paul is wishing that his brethren, his Jewish brethren, would see what it is that Christ has done for the Gentiles, and they would want that. And that is called when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, let's go to one more verse, and then I'm going to kind of put a little bunny trail on this thing, because I think I'm going to have time here. But let's look at one more verse here, and that is down in verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Now, let's separate severity and the goodness of God. The severity of God, severe, the severity, the fear of God, the wrath of God as such, was put on the Jews during the Old Testament. Right? Across the desert. Boy, God had to put the hammer down on those guys many, many, many times. So many times. That's the severity of God. But when he says, but toward thee, remember, he's not talking to you and me, he's talking to Gentiles as a nation. Thee, T, is a singular reference to the Gentile nation, because that's what he's been talking about during this whole chapter. Rich fullness of the Gentiles, riches of the Gentiles. Salvation is coming to the Gentiles. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, Gentiles, goodness. Romans chapter 2 tells us that that goodness of God during this dispensation should lead people to repentance. Not the fear of God's judgment, not the fear of God's wrath, but the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So the goodness of God is put on the Gentiles. Put towards the Gentiles. Risen Savior, to Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided, you will learn what the goodness of God is. That's what this program is all about. But then it goes on and it says, if thou continue in his goodness. Now, we're coming down to the days where people don't want to hear about the goodness of God. They're getting doctrine from different Bibles. They're getting preachings from all sorts of biblical, as they say, biblical counseling about this and that and whatever. They got the love of Christ all mixed up. They got everything, just the music has become their God. They're all being prepped for the Antichrist. They don't want to hear about the goodness of God because, see, Paul is the only one that teaches that. In Paul's books is the only place you will find the goodness of God. Otherwise, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 1 through 8, all of Hebrews, 1st, 2nd, how we got to Hebrews, you got James, 1st, 2nd, Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, and Jude. That's all severity of God. That's not his goodness. So it says, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. That's the Gentile nation. That's the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, it's because the Gentiles are tired of hearing about the goodness of God. They don't want to have anything to do with the goodness of God. And the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God. And that's when God says, okay, Gentiles, I am done with you. Boom, that's the rapture. Makes total sense. There has to be a salvational doctrinal change for the tribulation. We just read that. The everlasting gospel has to be preached. Not to take the mark has to be preached. To obey the commandments has to be preached. Paul doesn't teach that, but that is taught during the gospels. The fact to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And your faith will get you to do the right things and follow the law, which they still had to do. Christ hadn't died yet. So when Christ died, he took care of, and rose again, he took care of the law for righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. And then he gives his righteousness, he imputes that to the Gentiles who put their faith in him, and he gives us his faith. And when the Gentiles are done with all this, they're not interested in this stuff, and I'm telling you, Paul is hardly, they'll preach a couple of verses out of Paul, but they don't preach Paul, the only apostle. They don't preach the risen Savior doctrine. They preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They preach the Beatitudes. They preach the fear of God getting you, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. If you don't love your brother, you're not even a Christian. I mean, all that stuff. All that stuff is what's going on today. Now, another side light on this, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. There are some Bibles, believe it or not. We've got some Bible versions out there that get pretty dirty. There are some Bibles that talk about otherwise thou shalt be cut off is actually talking about male castration, if that isn't the sickest thing you've heard. Yep, maybe your Bible says that. You know, don't go looking for it. It's out there. But this is referring to the Gentiles. There are some folks that preach, well, this is you being cut off. You lose your salvation if you don't stay with... No, it's not talking about you. This is talking about the Gentile nation. And it makes sense, doesn't it? When he says, how much more their fullness? Then he says, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, the Jews will then see again, and the Gentiles will be out of the picture, Romans chapter 11, verse 22. And thus begins the tribulation, of which the Jews will know this isn't going well. Everybody, they think everybody's trying to get rid of their nation now. Wait till the tribulation comes along. The Jews think they're having battles now. Wait till the tribulation. So, when's the rapture going to come? The rapture's going to come when the Gentile nation is tired of hearing from Paul about the risen Savior's teachings to the Gentiles, which the Scriptures call the goodness of God. That's when the rapture is going to come. And those of us who are studying and preaching and teaching the ways of Paul, a rightly divided King James Bible, preserved Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, but Paul's books are the ones written to us, and the rest are written there for us to learn. And we just try to live a Christian life somewhat based on Timothy and Titus. You know, what's written to ladies, what's written to men, what's written to women, what's written to husbands, wives, children, even teens. Trying to live that life, Paul says in Timothy, you will suffer persecution. You see, people are tired of being persecuted. You know, dress right and talk, well, that kind of stuff, you know. They get tired of that. So they get tired of their persecution. So after a while, we're just running out of people that want to hear this stuff, and as a result, one of these days, God's going to say, Gentiles, you don't want to hear about my goodness I'm handing you on a platter? You don't want the whole buffet? Then you don't get any of it? Boom. And then he's going to go back and put the skids on the Jews during the tribulation, and those guys are going to have to go back to earning it by following the law and not taking the mark. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, is not supposed to say Christians take the mark of the Holy Spirit. That is wrong. That is deception and deceiving scriptures, right? That's not the scriptures. Okay, so there's that. Now, we got a few minutes yet this morning. Let's look back at 25 and see a little bunny trail here. See, if a person doesn't understand this whole thing about blindness and part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, if they don't understand that, which most don't, then it says here, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Conceit meaning you're big on yourself. You know, there are Christians that think that Jesus died for them as a person because of me. They think that God is blessing me because I'm living such a good Christian life. They think that the reason they have such a nice house and such a nice job is because God has blessed them with it because they're such a good Christian. You know what's going on there? They're becoming conceited. They don't realize that in Ephesians chapter 1, I might be getting into something I shouldn't get started here. In Ephesians chapter 1, the blessings that we got coming from God are spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So they think that the reason things are going so well is because they're such a good Christian. They don't realize that blindness in part has happened to Israel, and God has given us Gentiles his goodness. And here's why I know that people think too highly of themselves, because when they lose their job, they get mad at God. If something doesn't go right within their family, it's God's fault. Why did God allow this to happen? If their house has a problem, they don't get the house they wanted, they can't keep their car, they don't make enough money to live the lifestyle they want, or the way things are going nowadays, the economy of America is just falling apart. Shouldn't say it's being falling apart, it's being taken apart. There's a difference. America's being robbed of its liberty. America's being robbed of its economy. It's been given away by our own government. Well, what about these people that say, God gave me this house and now God took it away? Why did God take it away? Because your pastor will tell you that God took it away because you're not paying your tithes. You didn't help us pay for the parking lot. You're not coming to church all the time. All those kind of excuses. So if they are paying the checks, writing their checks out, tithing, da-da-da-da, and helping the parking lot being paid for, and camps and all this kind of stuff, and they're singing their music with all the joy and fun flesh they can come up with, and da-da-da-da, and they still lose their job. And they still lost their house. Their kids got sick. Some of them died. Somebody lost their baby being born. Hard times. Is it God's fault? No, it's because of the sin that's in the world. So don't blame God. So they blame God. Because there was a time they were wise in their own conceits, and when it crumbles, they were putting their trust in riches, which Paul warns about in Timothy. Money was their God. You know why you have such a nice house? Because you probably got a nice job. You know why you got a nice job? It's because you probably had good credentials, and you just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and maybe, you know. Test your job out. See if you can keep your job by telling people that you're a Christian and you follow Paul, King James Bible, and you might find yourself a problem. Nowadays, if you have a Christian title on your email and you send that into a job application, you're probably not going to get the job. Well, where's God during all this? He hasn't moved an ounce. He's still there. How are people getting away with what they're getting away with? Christ will take care of that. Romans chapter 2:16, he will be the judge at the judgment seat of Christ. For a Christian, and to a lost person, white throne judgment. Nobody's going to get away with anything. It just happens to be in our case, as a Christian, our works will be judged, not us. And in a white throne judgment, their works will be attached to their flesh, their sin. Their works are dirty, and they're not getting to heaven. So that's just the way it is. We'll talk about the judgments one of these days. I bet you people didn't know that one. A judgment for the Christians and a judgment for the lost. Right now, God's not judging anything, because why would he if he's going to judge it again into white throne judgment? Which, by the way, is where America gets it. You can't take somebody to court for the same thing twice. Christ doesn't do it either. Although Christ is the one that established it. Okay, so are you wise in your own conceits? Have you ever thought about the fact that everything we have is because of Christ? I'm not talking about physical blessings. I'm talking about all these marvelous things, imputation, salvation, propitiation, all these shuns that we've talked about. Marvelous stuff. This rapture, we call it, I don't call it the rapture, it's when the Gentiles are cut off. Try that one with your friends. Well, do you believe in the rapture? Well, I do. I don't call it the rapture. I just call it when the Gentiles as a nation are going to be cut off. What are you talking about? And there's an open door to explain to people Romans chapter 11 about all this kind of stuff. And if they don't like it, they've never heard it before, and they don't believe it, they're conceited. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In the middle of that it says, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. See? Now, verse 28, let's finish up with verse 28 here. It does say, as concerning the gospel, they, meaning the Jews, are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, meaning them, not any of the Calvinists today, concerning touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. The Jews, they are still God's people, but they're blinded. Right now, he's working to the Jew, to the Gentiles, and he's given us everything on a platter. We have the full entire buffet, and we just have to open up our scriptures to find out what they are and taste them and get into them. And one of these days, when the Gentiles are not interested anymore, God's going to cut off the Gentile nation, go back to the Jews, let them see what's going on, and then say, listen, folks, now you got to follow the law again. And the books that Paul wrote to the Hebrews, and what James wrote, and what Peter wrote, and what John wrote, and what Jude wrote, that's what they will have to follow. And John knows it because he told them in Revelation 14, the patience of the saints. Keep the commandments of God, keep the faith of Jesus, and don't take the mark. But that is not our problem today. Our problem is to rightly divide the scriptures and find out the goodness of God. And if you want to hear more about the goodness of God in 25-minute sessions, come on and join me every morning at this particular radio station for now, and let's talk about all these marvelous things that are in a King James Bible, rightly divided, with a little music on the side. We'll see you at the next program. I always say we will see you. We won't see you at the next program, but I will talk to you at the next program.